CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are live, CliffCentral.com. Sia Sangweni's here, Leanne Moles here, and we're ready to take you through your Wednesday morning. Okay, there's quite a lot going on today. I've also got a blog coming up on CliffCentral.com, which is called How to Argue. So if you feel like taking a look at that, it'll be ready sometime this morning. And you can go onto CliffCentral.com and see it. If you're always getting into arguments and you want to win, and you want to persuade people rather than just win, because that's really the point of an argument, is to test your own ideas and to see if other people can test theirs as well and figure out which one's the best. So that's all coming up. So I was sent this story yesterday by Elson, who listens to us from Zim, and we're going to speak to him tomorrow because I want to get his thoughts on it. But it's quite bizarre. So Zimbabwe is really a very strange place. And, you know, there are all those news sites, Leanne, that you've told us about.
My Zimbabwe.
My Zimbabwe, right. It's just the most crazy place. And I don't know how they get their news or whether half of it's made up or who the hell knows. But you remember, Robert Mugabe died quite a while ago, right? So he died in Singapore, and then they brought his body back to Zimbabwe in a coffin. And that coffin was then discarded, and they put him in a different coffin because they didn't want anyone digging him up and using his body for muti. So this is apparently a thing. Apparently, according to ZimLive.com, President Emmerson Mnangagwa is behind a bizarre push to exhume the remains of Robert Mugabe in the vain belief that his predecessor was buried with a mystic scepter called Yamambo, which in the Shona language is a special scepter. It gives you commanding authority as a leader. Mugabe's exiled nephew, Patrick Zuwawo, has sensationally claimed that this is what's going on. A village chief sent tongues wagging across Zimbabwe and beyond on Tuesday after summoning Mugabe's widow, Grace, to a village court on accusations of violating tradition by burying the late former president inside his rural homestead and ordering his exhumation for reburial at a family grave site. The chief ordered the former first lady, who is unwell and seeking medical treatment, to arrive next Thursday and appear before him. You are facing charges of burying the late Robert Gabriel Mugabe at his homestead. This is unheard of in Chief Zvimba's area. At the same time, you're accused of abandoning Robert Gabriel's Mugabe's property, which is scattered nationwide, the chief said in his summons. I want you to rebury the late president in accordance with our traditions in Zvimba at a place designated by the family and his late mother. These charges you are facing attract a fine of 5 cattle and a goat. Okay, so this is a very complicated story, but basically, let me show you what the scepter looks like, because that's quite interesting, and then you'll get an idea of what they're talking about here. So it's this magical scepter, which means that whoever has it is in charge of Zimbabwe. All right, and then I'll show you the coffin that they actually buried him in, which is metal. It's actually made of metal in order to protect it from being dug up, and it was apparently covered with 5 enormous concrete blocks. Mm. In this grave, so that you would have a real struggle pulling him out of there. Mm. Here's the scepter. That's the scepter, this wooden scepter. That's not the coffin that you see behind that he was buried in. That's the one that was at the funeral. But then they changed coffins. They picked him up and put him in another box. Okay? So there's that one, and there's the scepter. That's the very powerful scepter that has made him the authority in Zimbabwe even after death. And then here is a picture of the actual coffin, which you can see is made of iron or something. And then it's just got R.G. Mugabe on it almost looks like a number plate at the top of it. And then that very deep hole that they're putting him in, which they put the concrete on top of. And there's a poor man in the bottom of the hole who's about to get the coffin as they put it down there. I hope he isn't buried with Robert Mugabe.
Yeah, so there are lots of things that I want to say. Firstly, that coffin is at such an angle.
I know.
That's a bit disturbing.
Yeah, well.
Usually it's like lowered in by a machine.
Yeah.
And then that scepter, I see that Simba Sabao says in the comments, it means the Lord's scepter.
No.
But I was expecting to see this beautiful gold and bejeweled scepter, and it's not really.
No, it's wooden. I think it's very interesting because obviously when anyone famous dies, their gravesite becomes a scene or a site of pilgrimage and visits from people. And you know, we've never really been allowed to visit Nelson Mandela's grave because it's inside the family homestead at Kurnu and it's not open to the public. It should be, if you ask me. He was president of the country. Most statesmen, you can go and visit their grave. And for a lot of people, it would mean a huge amount to go and be in the place where he was buried, right? I mean, I'd like to go and visit it, for one. But Robert Mugabe, I tried to figure out where exactly he's buried. And it's very difficult to get the truth out of anybody because it seems that no one's really letting on where it might be. Some people say that he was buried in his home village of Kutama, and that is west of Harare. Then they say in some other stories that he is buried in the Heroes Cemetery in Harare, but nobody's really sure. You know, his wife, Grace, is still in the big house in Borrowdale, as far as anyone can tell. But inside the grave, the coffin was placed in a container and then covered with a maroon lid. At its head, R.G. Mugabe was inscribed on a yellow plate. Heavy rectangular blocks matching the shape of the grave were piled on top of the coffin. And that's – it's just so weird, right? They wanted a tamper-proof casket because they feared rituals being performed on his body. And Mugabe had told his wife to guard his body once he died for fear it would be used by his opponents for ritualistic purposes. Very strange. Very, very strange. Isn't that a bizarre story?
Very bizarre. And to go as far as to now exhume his body, I mean, what a mix.
I think one needs to be more in the know around the culture, the way things are done in Zimbabwe to fully understand what this all means. So it will help talking to Elson. But because my meager mind says, well, you've passed on, you're gone.
Yeah.
What more can people do with you? And what else would it be? It's not like they can wake you up and you'll be a zombie and you'll be roaming the streets. Well, hey, we know that Robert Mugabe is dead. But yeah, I don't understand any of this.
Well, Lungile says, the concrete blocks are also used in some of our Xhosa villages. I didn't know that. So I think that's obviously a new thing. Dylan says, I work at a school. The teachers heard this story and got so upset about the discussion. It is disrespectful to talk about Mr. Mugabe, he says. I work with a bunch of closed-minded fairies.
Maybe it's this whole notion of respecting the dead.
Yeah. Anthony says, hey guys, can anyone tell me why most of Zimbabwe is living in South Africa or England and Australia? What are they running from? Black government? Why don't they stay in Zimbabwe and fix their shit? Well, Anthony, I mean, isn't it obvious? Why are you even asking that? Zimbabwe is a failed state. And I don't know why it's got to do with a black government. It's got to do with a government of thieves in ZANU-PF, you know? So I'm, you know, you don't say that about Botswana, for example. That's a very simplistic way of viewing things. But yes, Zimbabwe is a disaster. That's the truth. And it has been mismanaged horribly by ZANU-PF. But there's no need to look at this in such a binary fashion and say, oh, well, it's a black-white thing. I think that's a very messy and simplistic analysis, for what it's worth. I kind of miss Robert Mugabe. He always used to be entertaining when he opened his mouth and said things. I mean, I know that's not a popular opinion. But then I also miss, Tony Blair and Margaret Thatcher and people like that who used to say things that were interesting. But I remember him getting up at the UN and saying just outrageous things to the rest of the world. No, no, never. You will not tell us how to run our Zimbabwe. Don't you remember?
My Zimbabwe.
That's right. Never our Zimbabwe. mine.
There's enough on Netflix for me not to miss that.
So there's a bizarre story. Thank you, Elson. We'll talk to him tomorrow and find out what other crazy shit's going down in Zim. But there's another interesting story I want you to know about. And Sia found out about this. Apparently, Kevin Spacey is back at work. You know, Kevin Spacey was facing those very serious charges and sexual allegations against him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a bizarre choice of project to get out there and start doing after those accusations are still flying around. Very weird.
Yeah, I don't know who thought this was a good idea.
Yeah.
Between Kevin Spacey, whoever's in his team, and even those who have hired him on this movie. But after all of these sexual allegations, and particularly he's been accused by at least 20 men of sexual misconduct. A lot of those speak about being sexually harassed, allegedly, by Kevin when they were young. And now Kevin Spacey is making an acting comeback as a detective investigating a false claim of pedophilia.
What a role. I mean, really, like, you know, dude.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's very strange.
Why? Yeah, it's a movie that is called The Man Who Drew God. It will reportedly begin filming later this year. But the fact that he's just going to be in this movie, it's quite a smaller role. It's not a lead role by any major comparison to what he's done in the past. But he'll do a bit of a cameo. He'll be a detective. He'll be investigating this allegation. And supposedly he said, you know, the team has said that they're very happy to have Kevin Spacey as part of this movie. They say they consider him a great actor and they can't wait for him to start the movie. But then you think about it, as much as it's a tough pill to swallow, with all of these allegations that have been brought up against Kevin Spacey, he has denied all of them, and none of them have seen the light of day in court. So technically, he's still innocent. And should we move past this and say, hey, actually, Kevin, welcome back to Hollywood?
Well, I heard he went to that powerful Sangoma, and that's how he got the script and he got the job after.
Ah, that's it.
That's what he did.
Yeah. I think it must be... He must have been cast, or I don't know, Corona's boring is saying that Kevin paid for that script himself.
Mm.
But it must be a symbolic reason. And I'm sure that the lines that he has must mean something to him, maybe in trying to vindicate himself.
Maybe.
So it'll be interesting to see.
It's like an attempt at standing up for himself. I don't know. Mm. I mean, look, Sia makes a good point. Like, if people are going to make allegations, then they should be willing to take you to court. And if not, and if there are no criminal allegations, then you can't, you know, people could say anything they want. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to believe them. And I've you know, got no reason to disbelieve any of these victims of Kevin Spacey. He doesn't seem to me to be all there. He's a very talented actor. I'll take that. I'll take that to the, you know, what do they say? Take that to the
grave.
No, man. What do they? No, they say I'll take that to the take that to the shop.
Take
or
it
what?
To the bank.
I'll take it to the bank. That's right. I mean, he's a really talented actor. He's a very. I mean, I remember watching. There's so many good shows that he's been on, and he's good. You
House
know?
Of Cards.
Well, The House of Cards is the most recent one, and I just loved that because I sort of liked Robin Wright in that more than him. But he's so good. He can play pretty much any character. But at the same time, if this stuff is going on and it's all just hearsay, then you can't take it seriously. Just because the internet says something is true doesn't mean it's true. I mean, look at this Robert Mugabe story. How do you even make sense of that, you know? So I'm not sure what to make of it, but... From a PR point of view, I don't know whether this is a good move or a bad move. I suppose we'll have to wait and see, right? Very strange.
Way too bizarre.
No.
I think he could have, if who was it who sent us the message saying that he paid for it, I think he could have done something different. Not this topic that's so close to home.
Yeah.
Pay for a cameo in an Angelina Jolie film about, right. I don't know, she's so focused about, you know, children and abuse or something moving that'll make people go, oh, yes, you know. Actually, no, sorry, Kevin, stay away from kids.
Stay away from kids. I agree with that. I think stay away from children. Otherwise, you can do what you want, but just stay away from the kids. I think that's a good piece of advice. That's very, very sensible. So speaking of horny people like Kevin Spacey, apparently the White House is partnering with dating apps in order to get horny people vaccinated. You know, there's so many weird things going on in America to try and persuade people to get vaccinated. Yesterday we had Candace Mama on, and in Las Vegas they're offering strip shows. If you go to a strip club, there's one strip club in Vegas where apparently you can get an inoculation, a vaccination, and then you can get a strip show at the same time. So you'll get a dance from one of the girls and you can get your vaccine. The mayor of New York, we played a clip for you the other day of him eating hamburgers. It was a horrible thing to watch. All the mouth noises.
So bad.
Just a terrible thing to watch. And Bill de Blasio, he's offering free hamburgers to New Yorkers if they get vaccinated. And now you see this story about the White House partnering with dating apps like Tinder in order to get people vaccinated.
Sure.
It's kind of like your parents getting involved in your dating. It makes me think of them slightly off-putting.
It's weird, right?
But yeah, it's a whole national effort that the White House is pushing right now with some of these dating apps. They announced it a couple of days ago, this past Friday, that they're joining forces with dating apps to encourage people to get their COVID-19 vaccines and, well, just go forth and fornicate. Vaccinated users who are currently on Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, and Badoo will have access to some premium features for free. And then there are also other sites like OkCupid and Match who will be giving out a free boost to those who have been vaccinated so that their profiles are more likely to be seen first. And then there's another site called Plenty of Fish, which is offering free credits to vaccinated members for its live streaming features. And, you know, they talk about that vaccine passport. Well, now it seems like something of that sort will also start applying on dating apps. These aforementioned dating apps will now add badges or stickers to your profile that indicate whether you've been vaccinated or not, as well as filters so that you can only swipe on fellow vaccinated people.
Oh, wow.
Oh, right.
Okay. I mean, it's crazy to me that these people are having to be almost bribed to get their vaccinations. Yeah. I want to get mine so that I can just move on with my life. Mm-hmm. But it's bound to happen here as well. I mean, we're in the very, very beginning stages. I mean, the UK is so far ahead that they reckon that they'll have finished vaccinating by July, I think it is. And we are just scratching the surface. So we'll probably see these efforts coming to South Africa as well. It'll be interesting. Maybe you can get discounted Sangoma rates if you've had a vaccination.
From powerful Sangomas. Simba says apparently they're giving away full scholarships to some people under 18. Ohio State is giving $1 million to five random people who get vaccinated. So this is unbelievable, actually. You know, if people have to be bribed to get vaccinated, then maybe they shouldn't be vaccinated. Why is this so, you know, you don't do this with polio, but most parents know that they don't want their kids to get polio, so they go and get the polio vaccine. This is just ripe for conspiracy theories. Because you think, why are they making such an effort to get everyone vaccinated? There must be something going on here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, do they really want to protect us that badly?
Yeah. And frankly,
especially if you think about like overpopulated countries.
And there are lots of people in the world who have already had corona and they've survived. And that means they're pretty much immunized anyway, because the whole point of vaccine is it gives you a little bit of the virus so that you can overcome it, develop the antibodies, and then you're safe, as I understand it.
And trust government to get involved and just make things not sound cool or sexy at all.
Yeah.
The White House COVID-19 advisor, Andy Slavitt, said this in a statement. People who display their vaccination status are 14% more likely to get a match. We have finally found the one thing that makes all of us more attractive.
Ugh. See, that's, I don't want government helping me to get laid. Thank you. That's probably the most off-putting. That's the most off-putting
sliding
thing.
Sliding into your DMs.
Like if government are, if I need the White House or if I need the, imagine if Cyril Ramaphosa pops up on your dating app. He's like, hi, I'm the president of South Africa. Have you been vaccinated yet? Because if you need to get laid, you need to get vaccinated first.
Fellow South Africans.
Like I would, that would be the last time you ever saw me on any app at all. I'd be gone forever. Mm. It's pretty wild. No, see, you're on mute.
Sorry. Think of it from the other side of the scale. What if there are those people who have comorbidities, who have or are still paranoid about the virus, and they're all alone, and they do want to hook up with someone safe and responsibly? You know, this helps then.
It really bothers me that they have to do all these. Like, why on earth would you give away to 5 random vaccinated people $1 million? What do you have to oversell this thing for? Why do we need Lady Gaga and celebrities on video telling us go and get vaccinated? Why do we need that? Like,
I mean, there's the fact that if you do get corona and end up in hospital and use a ventilator, you're taking up medical resources and time and money.
I think there's something.
So could be driven by that.
It makes me, Leanne, get ready, suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Leanne, you have to watch So What Now tonight, 8:30 on ENCA. Gareth actually mentioned suspicious during the show. And I actually got excited all alone in the control room and thought, oh, no one gets it.
Sorry.
I'll watch it and I'll sing it at the same time.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that this stuff is making people, we're just looking at it askance, because why are governments and why are medical companies and all the rest so invested in getting every single person to have this? Why don't we just leave the people who don't want it? So what? That's their problem, right? It seems strange to me. It's like the weirdest thing that they're pushing so hard. Don't think it's necessary.
You know, but it's also, if you've got the vaccine, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't get corona.
No, that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. That's nonsense. I mean, there's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of people who have been vaccinated and still got corona. Tiny percentage.
Mm.
So it's pretty much negligible, Leanne. And otherwise, if that were true, and if people were saying that on a broad basis, then nobody would be getting the vaccine, because what would be the point, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's lots more to talk about on that front, but I think we're all coronated and vaccined out this morning, so there's more important stuff to get to. We'll get to Sean and Revix just now, and we'll talk about cryptocurrencies. But apparently, Leanne's also got some situation that she thought would be useful to bring up on the show this morning. Your ex-in-laws from 15 mm-hmm. years ago want to see you again. What's that all about?
Yeah. So I got a call yesterday from my mum. She says, guess who just phoned me? Oh. I'm like, mum, I can't guess. Who could it be? I mean, yeah, give me a clue here. And she just blurted it out and said her name. So it's my ex-mother-in-law.
Sure.
And apparently the conversation was really great. You know, you must remember these are people that I called mom and dad for a big part of my life.
Sure.
And she just wanted to catch up. You know, she'd heard that my mom had had a stroke and they have moved into an old aged home. So they were just having a catch up really on everyone and on their children. So, and they said, let's get together for some tea. We would love to see Leanne. So it's quite bizarre. I don't think it's a very normal situation, although it might be. It might be. Who knows?
How do you feel about it? Yeah. I mean, are you awkward about it, or do you think it would be fine?
I have anxieties about it, but I think it'll end up being fine. But also it's bringing up a lot of memories for me and things to process mentally, you know? So, you know, when your shower time is taken up by remembering things from years ago about who said what and how things ended and all of that. So it's happening this weekend.
Oh, you've agreed to go and have tea with them?
Yeah, I've agreed. I can't, you know, I can't deny them that. They generally just miss me and they'd like to see me. So, yeah, it's a big step and it'll be a very anxious morning, but I think it'll turn out nicely.
You know what, once you're there, you'll probably be fine with it, but it's the build-up.
Definitely.
Now, will your ex be there or not?
No. That was the first thing I checked. So none of not my ex or his brothers, neither of them will be there.
Okay.
And it'll be my mom and dad and I and possibly my brother.
And when last did you speak to your ex-in-laws before this?
When I got divorced.
Make sure your mom looks really frail and ill and sickly, and she must be sitting in the wheelchair when they arrive, and like maybe even if you can all look like you're still terribly sad, and like there must be no happiness.
Our lives have been ruined by your son.
Exactly. Play it up, man. I mean, like, yes. No. Then you have the upper hand at the beginning of the discussion. Yes, absolutely. You can become friendlier later on.
You're supposed to do the opposite, aren't you?
Yes, it must be a glow up. Oh my gosh. Play a makeup artist on Saturday morning.
No. Sympathy.
Get everything light and tight.
Sympathy goes a long way. Haven't you realized this? Hasn't social media taught you anything? People go, you know, they never criticize anyone who's going through pain or healing. No one. So if you go, you know, it's been so hard. And you start crying, and you can do that. Only you can turn it on. Then they'll feel so guilty and so terrible that their son, you know, broke up with you all those years ago, or you two had the divorce or whatever it was that happened. They'll blame themselves. Then you have the upper hand. Then you can say, but you know what? We'll get through it because we're strong. And, yes, you're so strong. They'll just be very nice to you the whole way through. Is that very manipulative? Maybe?
No, not at all. It's perfectly above board and neutral.
Oh, okay, good.
And Leanne, you didn't for a moment consider not seeing them.
Yeah, I did. But I think what's also driving me is my mom really wants to see them. And my mom said, I don't want to do this alone. So I'm doing it for her as well.
Oh, God.
Why don't you tell them? Say to them, when you arrive, you must have sunglasses on and a big hat. And you say, you know, I've just been in France and I flew back just for this. I hope it's worth it.
my new husband,
very rich.
I used his jet on the way here.
He's very rich. Do it, Lee.
No.
Yes, do a bullshit story. No. Have some fun with them. They don't know what's been there. They have no idea what's been going on.
No ma'am, no ham, no turkey, no salami. I wouldn't do it. Sorry. I'll tell my mother they were my in-laws first before you became friendly with them. And this doesn't work for me. So I would not be able to do it. And also, I'd rather, you know, I think a lot of people still think I'm joking when I explain things and I come off as petty. But I don't believe in having any communications with exes of any kind. If things were really notes, then you'd still be in a relationship with them. So no.
Well, I mean,
block, delete, lose my number. You don't my latitude, longitude, and address.
Sure, you sound very bitter and twisted. You know, people aren't in your life forever, hey? You don't own people. What this is very this is
yeah
almost,
they're under my life forever exactly because I kicked them out.
See, there's a little bit.
Yeah, and what if I told you that the dad is 90 years old and is asked to see me, which is the truth?
Yeah, then he's made it up to 90. Great 90 glorious years. Okay, so what does that mean? Where were they and where were these good feelings over their dinner table when your ex was saying nonsense about you and they were nodding their heads? Sorry, I'm that bad person filling your head with thoughts.
Sia, you're very unforgiving. Hey, you sound very bitter and twisted and resentful. I don't know what happened. Show me on the book where the bad people touched you, Sia. It's just, you know, I think that there's room for reconciliation and forgiveness in people's lives. And exes should, you remember you loved them. No, hold on. I mean, I'm not in any position to advise anyone on relationships, right? I'm shit at them, but I'm friendly with most of my exes. And if I saw any of my exes today, it wouldn't be weird and awkward. I'd be okay with it. And I think they would too. I don't believe that we should go through life cutting people off forever, especially if you were in love with them for a while. If you had a relationship with somebody, that means for a little bit of time, they were important in your life. They were special to you. They added value to your life and you added value to theirs. You don't throw that away. Otherwise, what you're really doing is you're saying, that was a waste of X amount of days in my life. I think that's horrible.
So, Sia, you're not going to come with me then.
What are you going to do?
You can pose as my new husband.
I was going to say your son.
Yeah, that would not work out well for you then. If you have the frail mother and the gay husband, you are going down.
I can say what a nice guy you are, how much I love you. And they can think how misled I'm being, how stupid I am.
You could say how you've given him all your money in Bitcoin.
Yeah. He's so devoted to me. He loves me dearly.
Right.
Yes. We have great sex.
He actually even painted my nails. That's how much he loves me.
He designed this dress I'm wearing.
Well, you know, a lot of people are agreeing with you, Sia. So I'm maybe just a freak in this respect. But I think there's nothing nicer than fixing things that didn't work out at the time. But also, no one is yours forever. I mean, that's crazy. Like, I've had great, great relationships and I've had amazing friendships. And sometimes those don't last very long and sometimes they do. But I don't ever, I have no resentment about them.
I've had great, great meals, but I don't keep it in my digestive system forever. I need to go out. Because why?
You know what?
Sorry, goodbye.
I'm not going to argue with you. You've got your point of view on this, but it does sound a little unhealthy if you ask me. I don't know. Let's go to Sean Saunders because that at least is sensible discussion and we can get to the facts. I mean, this is all just opinion, right? Sean is the co-founder of Revix and he is ready this morning, bright and early, to help us navigate our way through a pretty crazy week of developments in the world of cryptocurrency. So Sean is here and good morning, Sean. How are you doing, bro?
Morning, Gareth. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, fantastic. Listen, everybody, the last 2 weeks have been the rockiest that we've seen crypto in this whole year so far, because really, as you said last time we spoke, it's been mostly, you know, good news. It's been mostly up and up and up. And now suddenly we've hit what always happens, what's almost predictable in the market. But this is, for some people, very scary because maybe they only started investing in crypto this year because they get excited about how other people were making lots of money. So just talk us out of our suicidal minds at the moment and just remind us of how these things work and what's behind all of this.
We can continue with the dating analogy that you guys were talking about earlier, right? So Sia's love life. Let's go through that, right? Amazing for the first while and it's been amazing for the last year and a bit. Actually, it's been amazing since, I guess, crypto launched. Mm-hmm. But over the last few months, I mean, you have seen a pullback from $64,000 for Bitcoin, and that's a 40% pullback, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is gut-wrenching stuff.
Yeah.
But what I think, you know, I said this last week as well, is, you know, this has happened so many times before. In fact, you've had over 4 pullbacks since 2010 for Bitcoin that has been over 80%. So it's not completely unprecedented. I mean, when I first got into the crypto space, this was literally a normal day. Like seeing a huge, you know, double-digit move, it was completely normal. But I've got to say, you know, the last 2 weeks in particular have been very volatile. And it just kind of goes to show, listen, you know, you don't want to be following the market. And maybe some as sort of an anecdotal bit of evidence there as well is, you know, we see customers making purchases and making sales, right? You see a lot of customers making purchases and sales. And it's so terrible to see when the market does pull back like this, just how many people panic sell. And that's the reason that the market's actually declining. So, I mean, I can't give you the exact figures, but sure, there was, you know, at least 10 to 15% of our customers that panic sold into this last sell-off, which means that you're selling when the market's declined and then the market bounces back. You know, in some cases it was 20 or 30% with some cryptocurrencies, even more with others. And, you know, they've now missed out on those gains. They've locked in losses. And then for some reason they buy back in at the top. So it's making, like, that's why we sort of say at Revix, you know, you shouldn't be looking at the shorter term movements. Don't try to trade this market. Like, you know, leave the trading to the professionals. There's a reason that professionals make money, because they make money from retail, everyday investors. Look at the long-term opportunity here. That's what we've been saying since we came on the show. We're still saying that today. Don't try to trade this market. It's not there for a quick buck. It is like going to the casino. Rather look at the long-term growth and opportunity here.
So, I mean, this is good advice, because people are always trying to find the perfect strategy for when things go wrong in the market. And the very worst thing you can do, there are disagreements about what the best strategy might be, but the worst thing you can do is to sell at the bottom. That's just terrible, to panic sell because things are falling down. Because just yesterday, for example, we saw it pull all the way back up to like $39,000 or even $40,000 a Bitcoin. And for many people, that's okay territory. But, you know, if you sold at like 32, and who knows, it could go down even further, Sean.
No, of course it can. I mean, remember, I think people need to understand as well that there is a lot of volatility in the crypto space. That is why you have this really big return opportunity. Yeah. You always talk about risk versus return, right? So low risk investments, like a savings account at your bank, that returns you a really low percentage per annum, right? And that's a low risk, low return investment. With cryptocurrencies, you're looking at a really high risk investment, but with a really high return potential, really high return possibility that comes with it.
Sure.
And that's what's quite exciting. A lot of people, you know, really like that. They call it an asymmetric return profile, where you can only lose 100% with a cryptocurrency or any other investment, but you can increase that, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5x. In some cases, you know, with the likes of Ethereum over the last 12 months, it's still up 9x, right? I mean, let's look at the longer term trend here. Crypto as an asset class is still a $1.5 trillion asset class, right? I mean, it's still substantially up over the last 12 months. And I think the big question we have to ask ourselves as well, has the investment thesis actually changed? Sure, you know, you've had China clamp down on cryptocurrency mining and trading and all the rest. You've seen the US, they've come out with a requirement really that for any crypto transaction over $10,000 to be reported to the tax man. Elon's been questioning Bitcoin's energy usage and how green it is. I mean, so there's a lot of events happening in the market. But on the other side of things, you've got Ray Dalio, the biggest hedge fund manager in the world, who now says that he owns some Bitcoin. You've seen no big institution actually sell out of Bitcoin. In fact, actually, there's quite a few hedge funds that have entered the space. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've still got exactly the same narrative behind this asset class. And that's the reason that it whipsawed back, right? I mean, there's a lot of buyers on the side that are looking to get in. And that's sort of the thesis that we're still seeing at Revix, which is, you know, you've still got more demand than supply. Prices go up when there's more demand than supply over the long term.
Just out of interest, has Ethereum largely mirrored Bitcoin over this period with all these downs, or has it been slightly different? Has it behaved slightly differently?
Ethereum has been far more volatile. So if you look at Bitcoin versus every other cryptocurrency, and I'll include Ethereum in that, you sort of see Bitcoin moving, and it depends on the cryptocurrency, but a Bitcoin will move, let's say, 1%. All the other cryptos will move a greater percent than that. So they'll move 1.5, 2, 3, 4%. So it's quite an interesting market right now, where you've got a lot of the smaller cryptocurrencies that are exacerbating the moves in either direction. So when the sell-off occurred this last week, and I suppose over the last 2 weeks, the sell-off from the other cryptocurrencies has been far more severe than that with Bitcoin. And then when they've obviously bounced back, they've bounced back with far greater returns. I mean, for me to look at some of the tracking apps that I use, you know, 3-4 days ago, and to see the market, you know, with some cryptocurrencies up 30% in the space of 24 hours. I mean, that's stuff that you go back to 2015, 2016 was the last time that I really remember seeing that.
Wow. All right. So HODL, huh? Just hold tight, because we're going to see some more ups and downs. But on the long view here, this is still something that's valuable and that's interesting.
Yeah, I think I guess a closing comment really from my side
that
is,
sounds so general,
we've spoken about the smart contracts from way back, talking about a smart contract cryptocurrency bundle. We've now spoken about Bitcoin. Go read up about decentralized finance. Try put some, it depends which cryptocurrency you want to use, put some Ethereum into a protocol and start earning interest. Mm-hmm. You earn interest without ever dealing with a bank. That is phenomenal. Like, this world of automated finance is coming for us, right? And I mean, it's happening right now. It's still in its nascent years. Yes. I don't think anyone understands just how big this can be. I mean, you're literally talking about disintermediating every single financial service that exists out there, insurance, brokerage platforms, big banks, you name it, right? And I think that's something that's, if you just look at that small sector of the crypto space, that's huge. So I'll kind of leave it there today.
Yeah, that's plenty to think about. We're going to have to check in with you again next week, because there are lots of people who ask every week, please, if we don't have Sean to help us out, just to keep us sensible about this, then, people will make bad decisions like panic sell. But you can always go and find out more by going to Revix. They're also on social media. They talk about this on their social media handles. Revix Invest. It's one word, R-E-V-I-X Invest. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can sign up for free. And, here's Monica, for example, who says, I agree. The worst is to panic sell. I actually bought and added to my Revix portfolio while the prices were low. So that's interesting. And then a completely unrelated comment from Monica. She says, Sean, your skincare routine is really working for you. Your skin is perfect. So there we go.
There's always a comment on looks here. I feel so objectified. Oh, my word. Thank you, Monica.
You're like those supermodels who always complain about how objectified they are, Sean. Please don't do that here on the show.
It's the lighting. You can actually see that little, what's it called? The magic light that's actually just lighting me.
Teach the rest of us how. Leanne, here's a suggestion for you from Corona's Boring, who says, maybe you can ask Sean to be your date when you go and see your in-laws, your ex-in-laws, because then they'll be really impressed that you're, you're dating someone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, gosh.
All right.
I don't know if I would subject anyone to it. Only Sia, because he's so anti it.
if the Bitcoin price does drop to horrible levels, let's say 27 or something, then people are saying the only way that they'll reinvest is if you do this shirtless. So we might have to think about that. If things get really out of control.
Shame, Sean. Sorry.
No, he's used to that. Okay. Please, he used to be paid for it. Don't feel sorry for him. I've never been paid for anything.
Once
shirtless.
Upon a time, I did do a bit of acting and modeling, right? Yeah. Back in my youth, when my skincare routine was actually good.
All right. So you better hope, Sean Sanders, not just because of the value of your own portfolio and because you guys are a crypto business, but you better hope it doesn't drop to 27, otherwise you're going to end up shirtless on the show. Deal.
I don't never say never. I don't think this is dropping to $27,000, but
I'm certainly hoping that too. All right, we'll check in with you soon. Thanks, dude. Good to see
you. Great stuff, guys. Have a good rest of the day. Take care.
Cheers, Sean. You can go to revix.com to find out more, add funds, and select the bundle of your choice for more. Okay. What do I want to talk about now? Unless I write everything down, I'm getting useless at remembering stuff. Oh, right. We're going away for the weekend. It's like a family holiday, a family weekend away. And, my sister's a vegetarian and everybody else eats meat. So she has to pack her own kind of vegetarian stuff. And she has what we call cardboard, which she eats while we all eat meat. I know, Sia, you're pulling a face, but she's never a problem. I'll give my sister some credit, because she never says to anybody that, I need to do my vegetarian thing, or I need to. She's not a vegan, but she's, she prefers vegetarian food. So she just quietly does her stuff while the rest of us do ours, and she never makes it a problem, never makes it an issue, which I appreciate. Mm. But she was telling me how expensive some of these vegetarian options are, like this plant-based meat stuff. It's hugely expensive, right? It's way, way more pricey than ordinary stuff that the rest of us eat.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm a bit of a flexitarian, so I try to not eat meat if I don't have to. I really enjoy having something with just cheese in it, so not vegan but vegetarian. And then I'd love to actually try some of these examples. To be honest with you, meat actually grosses me out a bit. And the whole ethic problem behind it is a thing for me as well. So I often look at these plant-based substitutes, but they're double the price of meat. So you'd rather have a sausage made out of vegetables and beans or a normal sausage, and one is double the price of the other. So, and it got me to thinking as to how this is, you know, possible that these things are worth double, even though they're made of plant bits and pieces. And if you think about it, all of the money at the moment is going into research and into experiments, trying out the meats or the meats and the
plant-based meats, yeah,
the flavors, how to get the textures right.
Yeah.
So a lot of that's happening at the moment. And that obviously costs
money. And then ultimately, as they start producing it, the price can come down. But this is like the research and development phase.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there are already some supermarkets in the UK who are putting in their own money to reduce the price of these products. So that could also be a trend that we see happening here as well. So I'm quite excited about that. But that's why it's people are just finding their way. These things aren't being mass produced yet. So it's not like they'll spend forever making you pay double for beans and cauliflower.
Yeah. Look, I just thought it was an interesting observation because often when people go to, you know, a braai or they go away for a weekend with people, there's one or two vegetarians or even a vegan there. And you have to consider now that catering is not straightforward like it might have been once before, where you only ask people, do you have an allergy? Now you have to ask, you know, do you have food preferences and so on? So, you know, either you can or you can be a thoughtless, uncaring kind of caterer and not give a shit. But I think it's always good to know that everybody's getting what they want. Otherwise, they don't have the best time. Stevie Lekalakala says this is some useful information. Since you're going to the Kruger National Park, depending where you go, avoid the Leidenberg Road unless you're driving a 4x4. Well, luckily, Phil has organized a car for me. So I'll take some pictures of that and put it on social media so you can see what I'm driving around. Yeah. Should be quite cool. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a nice trip. As I said to you, I haven't been to the Kruger National Park since I was 10 or 12. So it's been an absolute age. I probably won't even remember how it used to be. Although there's stuff that I remember from my childhood, like clear as day. So maybe I will. We used to go there a lot when we were kids, but my brother loves it. I'm not really fussed about what animals I see or any of that stuff. It's more about going away.
Oh, it's very exciting. Yeah. Things like that used to be routine. Now it's exciting.
Yeah, just to get out of the house is like a massive adventure these days, you know? Like I'm going to the shops. It's going to be great. Go down to the shops, put on your mask, and it's just the most exciting day of your life. I'm obviously being sarcastic. All right. Apparently, a U.S. convenience store worker found a trashed $1 million lottery ticket. Now, what would you do with that? Would you take it and claim it was yours? Or would you give it back to the customer? Because they actually tracked down the customer and gave it back, believe it or not. I don't know if I'd do that.
Sure. How much? $1 million?
$1 million.
That's 14 or 15 million rand. Are you joking? I would never, ever give that to the customer. Customer can get fucked. I would take that money tomorrow.
Yes, I'm the same. Yeah. I'm sorry.
God's watching you, you know? And there was a similar situation where the comment was, and I sent it to you guys actually, where the comment was, yes, God might be watching, but I'll give him his 10%.
What would you do, Sia? You'd take the money, right?
I'd take it back. I'd take it. I'm sorry. $1 million? Mm. I know maybe that's bad in the realm of karma and what would happen. Mm. And, you know,
I'll take my chances. I could deal with karma better with $1 million in my bank account than I can deal with karma with none. Thank you.
This all happened in Massachusetts in the US. Mm-hmm. And I like how forthcoming and honest the store owner was.
Yeah.
Because in interviews, he said that he actually called the rest of his family and said, guys, I was clearing up the trash. I found this lottery ticket. It was sort of incomplete. He dusted it off. He finished off scratching it. He looked at the numbers and recognized that actually this is a winning ticket. And his family were like, we do not want any part of that money. You are not bringing money here. But, yeah, so it's actually his family who influenced him to do the right thing.
Damn, what a horrible family.
You could also take... You could also take another route and you could contact the customer and say, I have your ticket, but I'm only going to give it to you if I get half or
I don't know if you can 20%. I don't know if you can do that, eh? Because then it goes to court. Well, you end up using up all the money just to fight each other in court. That's not a good thing. I don't like that idea, Leah. That's terrible. Either you're going to be completely deceitful or completely honest. There's no middle of the road.
There's no in between.
No. No,
so what, I couldn't live. I couldn't.
Leanne, have we lost her? She's frozen in the middle of a laugh. That's not great.
Sorry, I'm back.
Oh, there we are.
Yes,
you couldn't live.
You what?
I couldn't live with taking that person's money. I would be plagued by thoughts of what happens if their child is in an accident and needs money for surgery. I would think the worst possible things.
Oh, well, get the violin out with this one. The lottery winner's name is Leah. And Leah had actually contracted COVID earlier this year and she had a bad bout of it. And she said, wow, getting this $1 million means that, you know, I still have better days ahead of me.
That's not a big deal. I don't think that's interesting at all. You think that's
the shop doesn't walk away empty-handed, you know, because she bought the winning ticket at the store. The store gets $10,000 from the national lottery.
Oh, okay.
So 10,000
small recompense
compared to $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not that great. I would take the money. I'm sorry. Makes me a horrible person. Tough titties.
I mean, very least, Leah could take them out for a nice fancy dinner, though. Because she had thrown it away. You know,
why did she?
Don't know. Maybe she just half-heartedly thought, no, this isn't it, and threw it away and thought she hadn't won.
Well, Peter says, take the money. I'm with Peter. I mean, there's nothing to discuss here. And I'm so sorry that she had corona, but so did lots of people. Most of them survived. That's not a story. That's the best story she could come up with. Couldn't she at least pretend to be lame or like smash her ankle with a hammer and then have crutches or something that would be a more sympathy situation than that?
Like
corona. Oh, yeah, I wanted Leanne to push her mother out in the wheelchair. Leanne, this is what you would do. You'd use your mom in the wheelchair. I mean, I would use that. You know, I mean, I've told you, you've got all the handicap parking you've ever wanted now. You just, even if your mom's not.
What am I going to get out of it?
Close parking to the shops. Are you joking? And with this, you could have had $1 million. You say, well, you know, yes, I found it in the trash, but thank God, because look, my mom's in a wheelchair and she had a stroke. And look at me, I had corona. You could make up all kinds of stuff, but you build the story up. If you need that, if it makes you feel bad for taking the money, come on. You saying you don't deserve it?
I don't know if I want to be friends with the two of you anymore. I don't trust you.
You think we're terrible people?
We're here with great.
I think you would. Advice. Would you steal my lottery card? You know.
I would. I'd kill you and steal your lottery card. What are you talking?
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't do that. Don't be silly.
But by the way, can I add this to end off for the day? Thank you to the listener, whoever it was, who sent us these very cute and gorgeous cushions, but you sent it to us and we don't know who you are. So I'd love to know who you are, an email address.
Oh yeah, that's true. We did get the cushions, and mine is sitting in the office. So yeah, I'd love to send you a thank you, and I'm not sure who sent it, because it was very difficult to kind of the card didn't give any information away. So yeah, please, if you
then there's someone else at the office who'd actually like to order some from you as well. So exactly. Please let us know who you are.
Yeah. So if you don't mind, thanks for the present, but we need to know who you are. There we go. All right, everybody. That's a wrap on this morning. I hope you had an excellent time with us. We will see you tomorrow for the Burning Platform, among other things. And then Sia and Leanne are back on Friday. I will be away on Friday, but we're all back tomorrow. And we will see you on the Burning Platform at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, as well as the rest of the show between 6 and 7. Very good. CliffCentral.com.